Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everybody with us. And as we have yet another ship has hit another bridge, ship up there hit the Brooklyn Bridge. It was a sailing ship, and so I'm not sure what the deal is with ships hitting bridges, but it's been happening. It seems like more in the past year and a half or 2 years. Ships are very large and they move very slowly. Bridges move even more slowly. But they seem to be hitting each other. And so while some people point to the possibility of a dire conspiracy on the part of America's enemies, I'm going to credit my default position, which is the legalization of marijuana. I think it's the legalization, and more so than the legalization and the decriminalization of marijuana, it's the normalization of marijuana. It's the fact that there are a lot more people stoned than there was before just because it's become more normal. And so the more stoned people you have, the more slow-moving objects you have hitting each other. Because I don't know if you've ever been a pothead or hung around with potheads for any significant amount of time, but some of the craziest, stupid things happen that you'd never believe would happen. You'd think something that stupid couldn't happen, but it will with potheads. Like crashing a very slow-moving sailing ship into a bridge. It's just my guess. The facts may not come out for quite some time. Maybe not until Judgment Day. We might not know until Judgment Day why it is that air traffic control is breaking down all over the world and slow-moving ships are running into bridges. But I'm going to default guess that it's the normalization of marijuana use that is primarily responsible for all of this. And then from there we go. Let's see. I want to start with reason number 1989 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, and that is the Chinese infiltration of the American education system. I have a report here from the Liberty Daily about Stanford, which is a publicly funded university in the state of California, where students there have allegedly uncovered a pattern of the Chinese Communist Party attempting to gain sensitive information about American research. And now the Chinese, they may not realize that most of the American research over the past decade or so is tainted by the normalization of marijuana use, especially among college students, researchers, post-grads, and the whatnot. But hey, China barely got their first aircraft carrier out to sea, so they're desperate to steal pretty much anything, even if it's the research of a bunch of potheads out at Stanford. And so the CCP has infiltrated America's higher education by impersonating students. That's right. Impersonating students and participating in what is being called a non-traditional collection effort, where other students of Chinese extraction, who either may or may not be already connected with the Chinese Communist Party, are either feeding information to the Chinese Communists or are being pressured by the Communist Party in China. So students who are affiliated are simply functionaries of the Chinese Communist Party. Students who are not affiliated with the Communist Party are being pressured through various means of threats against their families and whatnot to filter information back to the Chinese Communists. And students at Stanford who've conducted a review say several Chinese students, studying at Stanford are currently acting as spies for the CCP. Some Chinese students, again, feel pressure because why? Well, number one, their family lives back in mainland China while they're in California going to college. And second, their education is being funded by the Chinese Communist Party. And when the government funds your education, you are beholden to the government. Whether that government is run by a criminal gang like it is in China or by a criminally insane sex cult like it is in California. Either way, if the state is funding your education, you are beholden to the state. When asked to comment on the story, administrators at Stanford referred inquiries to a public statement they've already released about just general information. It says, Stanford takes its commitment to national security seriously. Well, no, they didn't say seriously. They said, Stanford takes its commitment, Stanford takes its commitment. That's the preferred pronoun for Stanford is its. Stanford administrators don't release a statement claiming anything about our commitment. They say its commitment. They're at arm's length from the school itself, the school being it. Stanford takes its commitment to national security with the utmost seriousness. Now, they could have said seriously. In fact, that's how I read it at first because it's so much more natural just to say we take our commitment seriously. But they didn't say that. They said Stanford takes its commitment to national security with the utmost seriousness. We are acutely aware of the threats posed by the Chinese Communist Party. We're looking into the reports and have reached out to federal law enforcement to consult on appropriate actions. Oh. Stanford administrators adding a lot of extra words and a very strange pronoun, distancing themselves from the university because what the university might be doing could be considered treasonous or illegal or criminal or something like that. And I wonder, by saying they've reached out to federal law enforcement to consult on appropriate actions, I wonder if the administrators at Stanford are offering to surrender rather than being arrested. Is that what they mean by seeking appropriate actions? Not to imply that the administration of Stanford is in bed with the Chinese communists, but I suspect that the administration of Stanford University and the University of California system at large and the public university at large in America is in bed with the Chinese Communist Party. That's an accusation that I'm going to make right now. Is I think they're in bed with the communists because they're already a bunch of atheists and they're already anti-American, America-hating, God-hating atheists, which would align them more with the Chinese Communist Party than with the American ideal upon which Stanford was founded and upon which all the other universities in America were founded. The administration of the major universities now stand more aligned with the communists and the atheist, God-hating heathens than they do with our forefathers who founded America and the universities and all that. All right. Now, meanwhile, that's America. That's the state of America and the Chinese communists who pull the strings behind the curtains and pretty much run everything. But let's go now to then, if you want to feel better about America, you can just look at Australia. Because does everyone remember what happened with Australia and Canada during the COVID hysteria? Wasn't it astonishing how Australia and Canada basically collapsed into tyrannical, maniacal despotism right before our eyes in a matter of minutes and hours. Within minutes and hours, Canada and Australia sunk to levels below what we would have thought could have happened in Nazi Germany from 1932 to 1936. It was just astonishing how fast. I was waiting to see when they would be putting people who didn't get vaccinated or anyone who strayed from the corporate line on COVID. I was wondering if they'll put them in gas chambers. I thought that could happen. How that didn't happen, I think, is just dumb luck. Because listen to this. The brownstone.org reports that there's a new report has been issued by the government of Australia. It's a year-long investigation that was recently concluded and issued an 868-page report on Australia's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. When you say pandemic, you have to say it as if you're afraid. Pandemic! This is from the Widespread Tyranny file. The government of Australia, as I said, has issued an 868-page report on itself. The lengthy report issued by the Australian government on the Australian government praised many of the government's actions during the pandemic. The panel that was appointed by the tyrants who seized the government in Australia during the COVID hysteria. The panel applauded the agility, of the Australian government to act early and lock down in order to buy time, which the panel says undoubtedly saved many lives. So they say that in the face of countless other peer-reviewed, data-driven studies that prove that the lockdowns didn't save anyone's lives, they didn't buy any time, they didn't change the behavior of the pandemic in any way. Well, unless you're a government bureaucrat hired by the government to write a report on the government, reporting on how the government behaved. And then your paycheck is signed by the government. And your family lives in Australia and could end up in prison. And so you issue 868 pages describing how well the government did. Yeah, they praised the buying of time by the lockdowns. The panel reported, had Australia not closed the borders and imposed lockdowns as quickly as we did, community spread would have overwhelmed most public health departments. Unquote. That's according to the official report, despite the fact that in the past 3 years, there have been countless peer-reviewed, data-driven studies that have proved none of that has anything to do with anything at all to do with anything to do with reality. Community spread, overwhelmed public health systems, it's all been proven to have been a hysteria, except for the people on the panel here writing the 868-page report on. Now, the panel also commended the government of Australia for their quick action in developing tests for COVID-19, which enabled early surveillance and held the virus at bay. So they wrote this with a straight face, despite, again, numerous data-driven, peer-reviewed studies that have proven that nobody held the virus at bay at any point. Nothing we did, nothing we said, nothing we tested held the virus at bay. Knowing who had the virus or who we thought had the virus, who tested positive on a PCR test for what we thought we might be the virus, none of that held the virus at bay. But the bureaucrats in Australia congratulate themselves on holding the virus at bay. Now, the panel did make some important admissions of insufficiency in the report. They said the inconsistency of state lockdowns was problematic. How unprepared the country was for a pandemic was problematic. and the fact that there was no plan for international border closures or shutting down schools or businesses was reprehensible. There should have been a plan in place for all of this. We had to lock everyone down willy-nilly and ad hoc and haphazard. The panel conceded that these insufficiencies led to an erosion of trust towards government. And the panel then, of course, called for greater centralized control of public health messaging for the next pandemic. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome. That's right. That report was issued in 2024. I'm sorry. Is it 2025? It's 2025 already. So 2024 was when all the peer-reviewed, data-driven studies proved that everything was an utter hysteria. But I'm telling you people that the alternate reality, criminally insane sex cult that sees civilization in 2020 is still there. They're still embedded in the deep states around the world, just waiting for an opportunity to lurch back toward the left and pull the whole world into 1,000 years of darkness, which is why we need to remain vigilant. We need to remain vigilant. The fact that bureaucrats in Australia could release this report and the fact that it wasn't simply buried in the bureaucracy, reviewed by the bureaucracy, the fact that they issued this so that it could be read in public proves that they have no shame and they're not going anywhere. And they're just waiting. And they continue through the government education system that's been penetrated by the atheists, the communists, the God-haters, the queers, the perverts, and the weirdos. They continue to devour the next generation, which is why we need Christian people to stand up, take your kids out of the system, stop feeding them into the machine, so that there can be a remnant of a generation left to try to hopefully save these people from themselves. Meanwhile, over in England, there is a bum's rush toward the greening of the electrical power grid, not just in England, all over England, Europe. We had the recent blackouts in Spain, I think, and nobody knows quite why they happened, and I don't really know. I don't even know if I commented on them. Did I comment on them? He asked as extremely. She said she might have been sleeping at that point, but she hasn't heard me comment. Because I don't know why there were blackouts in Spain. There have been rumors that it's related to green energy and solar panels and whatnot. And I really don't know. My default position would have been the legalization and normalization of marijuana. And I'm not sure how far that's gone in Europe. I'm just assuming it's worse than here. And it's terrible here. I mean, we got slow-moving ships hitting relatively slow-moving bridges. In England and in Europe, the greenification and the hysteria toward 2030 and the religious fervor against what they call fossil fuels, meaning oil and gas, it just continues at a breakneck pace toward oblivion. But now, According to Yahoo News, which I believe is the Associated Press, there are reports that kill switches have been found in solar farms in America, which has officials in England, where if you think we have a lot of solar panels here in America, you should see how many they've bought in England. That's right, because by 2030, they all plan to be running on exhaled vape smoke and solar. And was there anything else? I think that was it. That's it. Exhaled pot smoke and solar will power the European and British grid by 2030. Come hell or high water! But now, according to this AP story, Chinese kill switches have been found hidden in American solar farms. That's right. And this has prompted calls from people in England who haven't lost their minds yet to call on Ed Miliband, the energy secretary in the UK. He's the official leftist, communist, criminally insane sex cult minister of energy there in England. He's the one who's on a breakneck pace toward oblivion with the greening and all that. People are calling on him to take a pause and look into these Chinese kill switches. That's right. These kill switches enable Beijing to turn things on and off remotely, compromising equipment which would give Beijing the ability to possibly inflict blackouts across Europe and in England. And by the way, they were discovered in American solar farms, so in America too. Andrew Bowie, who's the shadow energy minister. The shadow. See, over in England, they have the government and then they have the shadow government. The shadow government is the opposition who lost the last election, but they set up their own pretend government in order to argue with the government that's in power, in parliament. They parlay back and forth. This is how they keep from slaughtering one another for a little while. But in Europe, they haven't slaughtered each other on a serious level for about 80 years. So there's a lot of tension building up. Anyway, but let's get back to the topic at hand. The kill switches in the Chinese solar panels. So it turns out the Chinese made solar panels so cheaply that all of the insane green worshippers have stocked their green churches with Chinese solar panels and solar equipment, and everything related to solar is basically Chinese because the slave labor made it a lot cheaper and the stolen technology made it better. But the shadow minister, Andrew Bowie, says, "We were already aware of concerns. We were aware of concerns being raised by the Ministry of Defense and the Secretary of Intelligence Services surrounding possible monitoring technology on Chinese-built wind turbines. The turbines were already of concern. Now, given the dominance of China in solar and concerns about kill switches in the solar panels in addition to the wind turbines, we're calling for an immediate pause and review to be carried out on behalf of the energy secretary in the Sind." That's what we're calling on, said that was Andrew Bowie, the shadow energy minister. There's no telling if a pause will happen. One industry source said last week that British solar farms used inverters from a variety of sources, including Chinese, American, German, and Israeli, which all are made in China. But we have a variety of sources of supplies, but they're all made in China. Now, fortunately, at this point, solar energy is still so mostly fake and such a small part of anything having to do with anything having to do with real electricity that there's no immediate blackout risk, at least not in America, because the solar is all still just a figment of the imagination of the green worshippers. It hasn't really. China could kill all the switches on all the panels and nobody would even notice in America. Now, in Britain and in Europe, I'm not sure. It's quite possible that China could hit the kill switches and maybe cause a blackout across Spain. Or the cloud, there could just be a lot of cloud cover, which is just as effective as a Chinese kill switch. In fact, it's more effective. Because if the sun doesn't go out, all the solar panels are killed. Whether the Chinese want it or not, and whether the British want sunlight and energy or not. And it's not like there's a lot of cloudy days in England. You know, that's... And if there is clouds, don't worry, we have the wind turbines. Because, you know, England is known for its... For its rolling prairies and wind and... So I just don't know how... I don't know how Western civilization gets over these people. I don't see how the Mongol hordes don't overwhelm us in the relatively not too distant future. Because everyone in Europe is either stoned or queer. Or both. And they're at a rave party and... The Chinese will just come in and set up the next empire. Meanwhile, here in America, I have a report from Harbinger Daily where Tony Perkins wrote an article. Do you remember Tony Perkins? He asked. He's extremely attractive. Audio engineer. Tony Perkins is the architect of the pro-family industry. Tony Perkins has been making money acting like he's saving America for about 40 years. The whole time, Tony Perkins' revenue and retirement fund has increased and gotten bigger and bigger. America has slid further and further down the left side of the cliff toward hell. While Tony Perkins has made bank saving America. And he has an article. Warning us that 20 Republicans in Congress have joined the left to demand the continued funding of Planned Parenthood. And Tony Perkins is so mad about it, he wrote an article and sent out fundraising letters about it, which is what he does and has been doing for 40 years while the nation has been being lost. He starts the article, Tony Perkins does, with a warning about the national debt. Now, the headline talks about child killing and Planned Parenthood funding. I mean, it doesn't mention child killing by name, but it mentions funding of Planned Parenthood, which brings to mind to conservatives like me, oh, yeah, they're murdering children at Planned Parenthood. Nobody should fund that. Every rational person thinks that way. But then we read Tony Perkins' article, and the first paragraph is about, he says, in the next few minutes, the debt will rise by $40 million. Try to think about that. In the next few minutes, $40 million. That's how much money the pro-life industry will take in the next few minutes, about $40 million. But it's also how much our national debt's going to rise, says Tony Perkins. He says it's going to go up beyond $36 trillion. That's $265,000 for every American household. That's your household, says Tony Perkins. Can you afford $265,000 in debt? So now that he's got you thinking about money here, and just so now, with the opening paragraph, we know where Tony Perkins' heart is. Tony Perkins' heart is in the same place where most Americans' hearts are. That's in their wallets. Tony's heart is in his wallet. And he thinks he knows you too pretty well. Because Tony's been playing this game for quite some time. For about 40 years, Tony's been playing this game of playing on your emotions and your heartstrings. And Tony's become pretty wise in the wisdom of the world. He knows that if you want to talk to people about morality, open with money. And then turn it quickly. Here's what Tony does in the second paragraph. The GOP's values have grown hazy in the absence of a formal platform, but still generally include protecting life, safeguarding children, and practicing fiscal restraint. You notice how Tony swerved the article into morality there for just a minute, but then brought it right back to fiscal restraint, because he wants to remind you that your concern over morality can be best expressed in your concern over money. Because at the end of the day, what Tony Perkins wants you to do is give him some money. And so he's going to, well, let's just keep reading. Tony writes in his bombshell report, 20 House Republicans are threatening to torpedo the president's bill unless Planned Parenthood continues to receive their roughly $700 million a year in fresh taxpayer funding. Tony goes on. He says, with chemical abortion pills now accounting for as many as 2/3 of all abortions, Planned Parenthood is eyeing its next profit center, cross-sex hormones. Oh, say it ain't so, Tony. And then he attacks Planned Parenthood and the politicians funding Planned Parenthood on the transgender-affirming chemical drugs to change your sex, that whole thing. And do you notice how quickly Tony breezes past the abortion pill subject? He doesn't even comment on the fact that half of all abortions are now done through pills killing children, that Tony Perkins has written articles supporting that he's okay with killing those kids as long as he can pretend to save the older kids. So Tony breezes right past the abortion pill controversy. There is no controversy. That's just abortion pills. Abortion pills have been taken off the table by Tony Perkins and the rest of the pro-family industry. Now we're going to fundraise against Planned Parenthood because of these cross-sex hormones. We've got to stop Planned Parenthood on the transom of the trans issue. So Tony Perkins, now having lost the battle against child killing to Planned Parenthood, he wants you to fund his next battle, which is defunding Planned Parenthood, funding cross-sex hormones. And I'm just not going to let Tony pass by the abortion pill issue without any comment. Tony, how could you not comment on the fact that half of all abortions are done with a pill now? I'm going to comment on it. And I'm going to comment on the fact that Tony doesn't seem to mind. And I think Tony Perkins is not qualified to receive any of your money for his next battle against Planned Parenthood and the trans drugging of children. Because Tony Perkins has proven himself not only incapable of fighting the forces of darkness on the issue of child killing, he's proven himself morally incapable of qualifying to lead anyone. Here's how he ends the argument against funding Planned Parenthood. Why should we stop funding Planned Parenthood and the transgender pills? Forget the abortion pills. That battle's just... Why should we stop funding Planned Parenthood, according to Tony Perkins? The debt clock is ticking. And so is the conscience of the nation. So is the conscience of the nation, Tony? If the conscience of the nation were actually ticking, you wouldn't have to bring up the debt clock.
Can't compete till they know that they're wrong.
It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us through the insufferable report on Tony Perkins. And my extremely attractive audio engineer says she can't remember who he is. I would have to remind her of the name of his pro-family industry organization.
Profanity?
His pro-family industry. His profanity industry. I hadn't noticed that. You've coined another term right here on the Weekly Worldview, the profanity industry. They disguise themselves as the pro-family industry, but they're actually profane. And I can't remember the name of Tony Perkins' industry corporation, but you would recognize it, and it's one of the big ones. It's one of the multi-billion dollar ones over the past 40 years. I'm sure Tony has brought in, I'm sure he's raked in more than a couple billion. While losing America. and not preaching the gospel. I've never heard Tony Perkins preach the gospel one time. Not one time. I don't know if he's a pastor, but he claims to be a Christian. He's a Baptist pastor, is he? Okay, well, it's even worse then. Because anyone who claims to be a Christian, you should at least hear him preach the gospel at least one time. If they've written things and published things and if their voice has been recorded over the years. You should hear him preach the gospel at least one time. I can't recall ever hearing Tony preach the gospel, nor I doubt you can find the gospel on the Family Research Council website. That's the name of his. Family Research Council. All right, I don't even want to get into that. I want to move on. Tony Perkins makes me want to vomit, so I have to move on. We go there from there to reason number 1986, obviously in no particular order. So I think it's supposed to be 1990. But we're just going to go with reason number 1986. Together, keep your children out of the government schools, especially in Michigan, especially in elementary school, where Ferry Elementary School has replaced Mother's Day and Father's Day with Special People's Day. Special People Day. That's right. A letter was sent home to parents and kindergarten students. The letter from Ferry Elementary School, F-E-R-R-Y, by the way, not F-A-I-R-Y, although I can understand the confusion. Ferry Elementary School, probably named after a great American. We'd have to look that up. Ferry Elementary School says Michigan. Detroit area. Well, the Detroit News reports that a letter was sent home to the kindergarten parents. Quote, "We're excited to announce that our kindergarten classes will be celebrating Special People Day." So I want to stop right there. Notice how the letter says, "We're excited to announce that our kindergarten classes," and parents who matriculate in the government schools may not be sophisticated to recognize that this is dehumanizing language designed to remove connection and individual personhood from the kindergarten students by calling them collectively kindergarten classes. We're excited to announce that our kindergarten classes will be celebrating. Wait a minute. There aren't kindergarten classes. There are kindergarten students. But the administrators there at Ferry Elementary School are indoctrinated and brainwashed into the psychobabble socialist Borg that causes them to call the kids they teach kindergarten classes with lots of extra S's. It's the psychobabble socialist sodomite Borg. Because they're all a bunch of perverts, too. They're not only atheists and socialists and psychobabblers, they're also perverts. And they're in charge of the kindergarten at Ferio Elementary School. And therefore, they don't like the idea of mother and father. Because mostly, and I hate to say this, I hate to put too fine a point on it, but most of the administrators in the government schools these days hate their mother and father because, number one, their mother and father are divorced and ruined their lives. And number two, their mother and father never taught them about God. And so kids whose mothers and fathers never taught them about God, they harbor a resentment deep down in their primordial, I don't even know what to call it. In the core of their being, they resent the fact that their mother and father didn't teach them about God. And so they hate their mother and father. And that becomes expressed later in life when they're administering schools and they get rid of Mother's Day and Father's Day. Why they hate their mom and dad. Instead of celebrating Mother's Day or Father's Day, we'll have Special People's Day. And each child will create handcrafted gifts to give to special people in their life. Someone who makes them feel loved, supported, and celebrated. This could be a grandparent, an aunt, or an uncle, or other sibling, family member, or anyone else your child holds dear. Perhaps even a school teacher or administrator who has molested the child. Oh, no, I didn't say that, did I? That's not what that meant. By taking mom and dad out of the picture, we certainly don't want to substitute a molesting school teacher. That's not what that meant at all. For your mind to even go there, I don't even know how that could happen. A school board member released the letter via the Detroit News, and the controversy, according to the Detroit News, the controversy over the removal of mother and father from school has rocked the community, not enough to cause parents to take their kids out of Ferry Elementary or to close Ferry Elementary or to have anyone at Ferry Elementary arrested. I'm sorry, investigated. We investigate first. But you take mom, you take mother and father out of the vocabulary of children on purpose, I'm going to at least investigate you. And I'm very ready to arrest you. I have handcuffs in my pocket and a billy club in my right hand. All right. So that's the situation at Ferry in Michigan. Meanwhile, down in Texas, a Texas senator, I think, Mitch Little, a Republican from Lewisville, Texas. Lewisville being a very affluent North Dallas suburb. Mitch Little has declared a sexual abuse crisis in the public schools there in the state of Texas. By the way, the state of Texas considered the buckle of the Bible Belt. That's where they're all Methodists and Church of Christ down there. And for whatever reason, the teachers are molesting children in Texas at breakneck rates. Nobody can even, you can't even keep track. In the last 3 years, since, they set up, what did they set up in Texas? This is when you know you have a problem. And this is back in 2019 when the legislature there in Texas, they established a mandatory educator misconduct reporting portal. And this wasn't to report educators' misconduct in the area of, let's say, embezzling school funds or maybe charging inappropriate things to the school credit card. No, this was to report the sexual molestation of kids by teachers, which was rampant in 2019, so much that they established a specific portal to report it. So that's bad enough that you have to have a portal like that. Well, now the complaints so far have so overwhelmed the portal that nobody can even keep track of them all. In the past 3 years, there were about 7,000 reports.
What?
7,000. And that's how many are reported. Now, I don't know if you people know the rule about cockroaches. There's a rule about cockroaches. If you can see a cockroach, there's 7 to 10 cockroaches you're not seeing. So if there's 7,000 reported incidents of teachers being inappropriate, let's just leave it at that, teachers being inappropriate with students, if there's 7,000, then you can assume that there's somewhere between 50 and a half a million actual incidents of it actually occurring, going by the rule of cockroaches. Right? Anyway, multiply it by 7 would be 49,000. Multiply it by 10 would be 70,000. So there's somewhere between 50 and 70,000 actual incidents that have occurred. Not all having been reported through the portal because, you know, there's only so much bandwidth. You can only report so many molesters. So... other students and anybody can get on the portal and report it, I guess. I don't know who reports it all, but there is a portal. And these are official complaints that have been vetted to some degree. Of the 7,000 reports, about 6,600 are unresolved. Meaning nobody really knows what happened and nobody's really talking. And anyway, it turns out that a Republican, Mitch, there in Louisville noticed, and he says there's a crisis. And so what does Mitch want to do? He wants to pass a bill to address the sexual abuse crisis in Texas public schools. His bill seeks to provide for civil claims against Texas public schools. It removes sovereign immunity from the district for certain acts, which I'm sure he describes in the bill, which nobody should be forced to read. Certain acts of, we'll just say misconduct, because we all know what you're talking about. A bunch of perverts in the government schools. All right, so, and that brings us from there, from the avalanche and the epidemic of child abuse in the Texas schools. Could we call it a pandemic? It's a pandemic throughout the state. So there's an epidemic of adults raping children, basically, or trying to. And it's become so acute in the Texas government schools that you have politicians who now want to provide for civil claims and remove sovereign immunity. So they want to go after the school districts for money. They want to allow parents and victims to sue the school districts in civil court to go after money over raping and attempted raping of children. Now, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a judge and I'm not a theologian, but does anybody else recognize the problem with going after the money when it comes to a criminal act? Does anyone else see the problem there? If you don't see the problem, I'm going to explain it to you next. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. At the center of the confusion between civil penalties and monetary penalties and criminal responsibility regarding the raping of children, at the center of all that confusion is the church. The church is to blame because we're the ones who know the difference between civil responsibility and criminal responsibility. We're the ones who know what sin is. And so once you're able to define sin, you're able to define crime, and you're able to separate criminal from civil responsibility. But the church no longer knows how to do that. And representing the church in this confusion is one Tim Tebow. We have a report from the ChristianPost.com, which that right there is just disturbing. If the ChristianPost.com is reporting on you as a Christian and not criticizing you for being too mean, then you have a problem. The Christian Post should only report that you're a radical and that you're mean. And if they don't, and they say you're a good Christian, you're probably a bad Christian. Because the Christian Post is run by fake, phony, baloney Christians. People who parade themselves behind crosses and various Bible verses and obscure the gospel is their job at the Christian Post, is to obscure the gospel with images of crosses, Bible verses, and talk about Jesus and love. They use that to obscure the gospel. They report on they report on Tim Tebow, who sat down with a gentleman named Sean Ryan for the Sean Ryan Show. And Tim Tebow was interviewed by Sean Ryan about Tebow's Tim Tebow Foundation efforts regarding the epidemic of the rape and trafficking of children. The kidnapping and rape of children was the subject between Tim Tebow and Sean Ryan. Now, Tim Tebow, according to the Christian Post, is a former Heisman Trophy winner. And so before I get started on the, just for the folks at the Christian Post, I know that you're operating mostly on AI and fumes and urinalism degrees, but Tim Tebow is not a former Heisman Trophy winner. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. They haven't taken it away from him. They're idiots. O.J. They didn't even take O.J. Simpson's away. You can't. O.J. Simpson wasn't even a former Heisman Trophy winner. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. All right, but this is the Christian Post, so we're not going to hold them to any urinalistic standards. By the way, Tim Ryan is a, they call him a former Navy SEAL and CIA contractor. Now, that might be appropriate. Because no matter what, what's his name, Sean Ryan, no matter what Sean Ryan says about once a Navy SEAL, always a Navy SEAL, although I'm sure Sean Ryan doesn't say that. You know, people say that. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Well, no, I was a Marine, trust me. Once a Marine, you're not always a Marine. No. At some point, you stop getting up at 5:30 and running for 7 miles, and you stop, okay? So once a Navy SEAL, always a Navy SEAL? No, not really. And I'm sure Sean Ryan would agree with me. But anyway, I don't know Sean Ryan. I'm sure he's a great guy. Don't know Tim Tebow personally. I've had respect for him over the years. They did an interview about Tim Tebow's foundation being involved in the fight against the kidnapping and raping of children, which unfortunately Mr. Ryan and Mr. Tebow continue to call the trafficking and abuse of children. Instead of calling it the kidnapping and rape of children, which is what it should be called, so that people are like, oh, did you say kidnapping and rape? Did he say rape? Yes, he said rape. Why? Because I want you to be shocked. You should be shocked that people are kidnapping and raping children. It should shock you, and you should want to do something about it. And Tim Tebow has decided to do something about it. And what has he done? Tim Tebow has, he's lobbying the government for the passage of the Renewed Hope Act. What would the Renewed Hope Act do to stem the epidemic of the kidnapping and rape of children? I'll get to that in a minute. I want to talk first about just a really disturbing thing about where Tim Tebow has gone. Tim Tebow was asked by the interviewer, who's responsible for all this trafficking and abuse? Is it criminal gangs? Because we often think of, yeah. So Tim Tebow says no. He says the majority of trafficking and abuse happens in families. And here's what Tim Tebow said. He said, quote, "One of the most heartbreaking things is that the number one offender is biological fathers," unquote. And so that could be an accurate statement that Tim Tebow just made. But what hurts my heart is to know that Tim Tebow is studying the events in and around and surrounding and the data and stories and about the kidnapping and rape of children to the where now he knows this. And so this is the kind of fact that it's bad to even know it. It's bad to have looked into the rape of children enough to know this statistic. Nobody should be subject to looking into this subject that much. And the fact that Tim Tebow has been forced to do that is sad. And it means that Tim Tebow has been harmed. The fact that he's looked into this that much and that he knows that much about it. He says most of the perpetrators are middle-aged Caucasian men, college graduates with good jobs. So Tim Tebow just spit out four or five statistics on the rape of children that he knows, that he's familiar with. And nobody should have to look into this that deeply because this shouldn't be a problem. the Christian Post reports, as his emotions swelled, Tim showed Ryan a U.S. Department of Justice red dot map highlighting computer addresses, IP addresses of individuals who had accessed, downloaded, or distributed images of children under 12. Let's just leave it at that. As his emotions swelled, Tebow showed the government has a giant map that lights up with red dots that flash over the people who've raped children. Now, how many people have been put to death for raping a child in the last 50 years? I'm going to tell you none. Not one person has been put to death for raping a child in the last 50 years. How many children were raped 50 years ago? The answer, not many. Now, it literally, they have a light-up board. They have a giant map, and they have annual festivals in which police departments, federal and local, all to get together, and they go after and they arrest a few hundred or a few thousand of these perverts. And then they process them through the system, and they spit them out the other side. They go to jail for a little while. They pay a fine for a little while. They go to psychological counseling for a little while. And then they go back to raping and kidnapping children. And Tim Tebow thinks that lobbying for the passage of the Renewed Hope Act, which what would it do? It would increase the number of victim identification officers at the Department of Homeland Security, Justice Department's, one of their offices of combined law enforcement's cyber crime center. It would increase the number of victim identification officers from 7 to 200. So that's what Tim Tebow thinks is part of the solution to the epidemic of the kidnapping and rape of children. And Tim Tebow, as a Christian, should be smarter than this. It's unfortunate that he's lost his way. Because the Christian Post reports that his emotions swelled as he pointed to a map with dots. Each dot indicated either the kidnapping or the rape of a child. And so here's the thing, Timmy. If your emotions don't swell to the point where you're angry and you want to kill these people with your own bare hands, you have a problem. You have been emasculated. There's something wrong with you. You don't understand the relationship between God and man if you don't want to kill a man who rapes a child. You should want to physically harm, injure, kill. Physically stop, prevent, kill. And if you don't, you have a problem. So Tim Tebow has a problem. The church has a problem. The justice system and all the lawyers and judges, they all have a problem in that they don't want to kill men who rape children. And if you don't want to kill men who rape children, you're not qualified to lead. In any way, You're not qualified to lead a family or a church, and certainly not the government. So instead of Tim Tebow being in touch with the God-given desire to kill anyone who would rape a child, Tim has chosen to create an organization to participate in the management of the rape and kidnapping of children for the government. Tim Tebow's Tebow Foundation took in several millions of dollars. I did a report on it. I can't remember. The government is paying Tim Tebow's organization to help them manage the kidnapping and raping of children. Which, when you don't put to death people who kidnap and rape children, you are facilitating the kidnapping and raping of children. Because if someone's demented enough to do that, the only thing that stops a demented mind like that is fear of death. And so, no one in this article, no one at the Christian Post, Sean Ryan, the former Green Beret, or no, I'm sorry, Navy SEAL, Tim Tebow, nobody at the Department of Homeland Security, nobody at the CIA, nobody at the FBI, nobody anywhere calls for the common sense solution to the problem of the epidemic of the kidnapping and rape of children, then execute the next guy convicted. That's it. The next guy convicted, we're going to publicly, painfully, swiftly execute him. But nobody calls for that. And because of that, men like Tim Tebow are basically handicapped by the culture. By the culture of the Christian Post and all the people who parade behind the whole God is love. You know, the fact that God is love means that he loves children enough that if anyone kidnaps them or rapes them, God kills that person. So, and by the way, I just want to, I understand that we live in the age of grace. So once someone is convicted of kidnapping and or raping a child, I'm all for having a qualified minister preach him the gospel before we put him to death. The best solution for someone who kidnaps and rapes a child would be for that man to understand and agree with why he's being executed 3 days after his trial. If you wanted to know if we had a successful justice system and a church that understood the gospel, if you wanted a gauge for whether or not that was the case, that gauge would be, we have a man who's arrested for kidnapping and participating in this type of abuse of children. We put him on trial. He gets a fair trial. He's given the opportunity to defend himself and to testify. And then once he's convicted, if he's convicted, let's say he's convicted. Once that man is convicted, then he's sentenced to death. He's sentenced to death and he's going to face death within 3 days. Now, the government does have the opportunity to appeal the case if there were any mistakes made, if the government found some other evidence, if the people found some other evidence, they would have the ability to appeal. The criminal himself, he has no right to appeal. No. No, he doesn't have a right to appeal. Only the people and the government have the right to appeal a conviction. Once the man is convicted, a qualified minister is assigned to that man, and the minister preaches the gospel to that man. He lets the man know, you're a sinner, which we can tell you're a sinner. Look, you were just convicted of this. So you're a sinner. You need forgiveness, because without forgiveness, you're going to go to hell forever. And by the way, the judge who's going to decide whether or not you go to hell forever, you're going to meet him in less than 72 hours. So let's talk about the gospel. Let's talk about the fact that Jesus Christ came and he died for your sins. And all you have to do is believe that he will save you, that he'll forgive you and save you, and he will do it. And you don't have to go and suffer in hell forever for what you've done. Although you deserve to suffer in hell forever and even worse for what you've done, you don't have to have that. So now your qualified minister preaches the gospel to the convicted pervert. And by the time the pervert gets executed, The pervert accepts the fact that he's being executed. He understands why he's being executed and why he must be executed. And he believes that Jesus Christ is able to forgive him. And that's how you could judge if you had a reasonably sane society. It's not even that high of a mark, to be honest with you. It's not that high of a mark to aim for. But even the greatest Christian leaders among us, Tim Tebow is considered a great Christian leader. But he's obviously biblically illiterate, and he's been taken advantage of by the whole nicer-than-God crowd. Which, you know what happens? That condemns children to being abused, and it condemns abusers to going to hell forever instead of instituting a proper Christian civilization where justice is fair and swift and complete and where everybody understands and preaches the gospel. And so we call on Tim Tebow to abandon his partnership with the government in managing the kidnapping and rape of children, and instead use his celebrity and the ability he has to draw attention to himself to call upon civilization here in America to institute justice and the gospel appropriately for the good of everyone, for the good of the children, and for the good of the man whose heart might be in him to commit such a crime. It'd be good for everyone. And that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview, to try to help all of you understand all of that. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.